Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atapi me vinitasya kshatram ghoram upeyushaha surucha druvacho banayar nabine shrayate hridi. Atapi me vinitasya kshatram gauram upeyushaha surucha druvacho bhanayar nabhine shrayate hridi. Atapi therefore may my avanitasya, not very submissive, kshatram, the spirit of a kshatriya, ghoram, intolerant, upeyushaha, achieved, surucha of Queen Suruchi, druvachaha, harsh words. It's durvachaha, not druvachaha. My mistake. Banai by the arrows, na not bhine being pierced. Shayate, remain in. Haridi, the heart. Translation, my dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But, here's the rationalization, it's not my fault. It's due to my having been born in a kshatriya family. My stepmother, Suruchi, has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instruction does not stand in my heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot. Once broken, it cannot be repaired by any means. Dhruva Maharaj gave this example to Narada Muni. He said that his heart, having been pierced by the arrows of his stepmother's harsh words, felt so broken that nothing seemed valuable but his desire to counteract her insult. His stepmother had said that because he was born from the womb of Suniti, a neglected queen of Maharaj Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj was not fit to sit on the throne or on his father's lap. In other words, according to his stepmother, he could not be declared king. Dhruva Maharaj's determination, therefore, was to become king of a planet exalted even beyond that possessed by Lord Brahma, the greatest of all the demigods. Dhruva Maharaj indirectly informed the great sage Narada that there are four kinds of human spirit: the Brahminical spirit, the Kshatriya spirit, the Vaishya spirit, and the Shudra spirit. The spirit of one caste is not applicable to the members of another. The philosophical spirit enunciated by Narada Muni might have been suitable for the Brahmana, for a Brahmana spirit, but it was not suitable for a Kshatriya. Dhruva frankly admitted that he was lacking in Brahminical humility and was therefore unable to accept the philosophy of Narada Muni. Then it gets more interesting. The statements of Dhruva Maharaj indicate that unless a child is trained according to his tendency, there is no possibility of his developing his particular spirit. It was the duty of the spiritual master or teacher to observe the psychological movement of a particular boy and thus train him in a particular occupational duty. Dhruva Maharaj, having already been trained in the Kshatriya spirit, would not accept the Brahminical philosophy. In America, we have practical experience of this incompatibility of the Brahminical and Kshatriya temperaments. Now, he's being very flattering here, saying American boys have Brahminical temperament. The American boys who have simply been trained as Shudras are not at all fit to fight in battle. Therefore, when they are called to join the military, they refuse because they do not have the Kshatriya spirit. This is the cause of great dissatisfaction in society. Final paragraph. That the boys do not have the Kshatriya spirit does not mean that they are trained in Brahminical qualities. They are trained as Shudras. And thus, in frustration, they are becoming hippies. However, as soon as they enter the Krishna consciousness movement being started in America, they are trained to meet the Brahminical qualifications, even though they have fallen to the lowest conditions as Shudras. In other words, since the Krishna consciousness movement is open for everyone, people in general can attain the Brahminical qualifications. This is the greatest need at the present moment, for now there are actually no Brahmanas or Kshatriyas, but only some Vaishyas, and for the most part Shudras. The classification of society into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras is very scientific. In the human social body, the Brahmanas are considered the head. Kshatriyas are the arms, Vaishyas are the belly, Shudras are the legs. At the present moment, the body has legs and a belly, but there are no arms or head, and therefore society is topsy-turvy. It is necessary to reestablish the Brahminical qualifications in order to raise the fallen human society to the highest standard of spiritual consciousness, which is quite a challenge. Atapi me vinitasya kshatram gauram upeyushaha surucha durvacho bhanayar nabhine shayate hridi. My dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault. It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. My stepmother, Saruchi, has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instructions do not stand in my heart. Prabhupada is giving the example of a cracked pot. And once cracked, the cracked pot doesn't hold liquids that go into the pot. The liquids leak out. And once cracked, you can't repair the pot. You throw it away, get another pot. So a kshatriya's heart that is pierced by harsh words becomes incapable of receiving wise advice. In one sense, Prabhupada is supporting that perspective. And on the other side, within the same purport, it's going the other direction. The direction of each person has their nature, and we should engage persons according to their nature. So in one sense, the government, the American government that's calling for people to join the military during that time, the Vietnamese War, was the wrong action because they weren't recognizing the spirit of those who they were calling. So turn it around and one could say, Narada failed to recognize the spirit of Dhruva. And therefore the instruction of Dhruva was, he couldn't follow it. You know, it's reverse. The non-kshatriyas can't be kshatriyas. And the non-brahmanas can't be brahmanas. If you apply the principle in equally in both cases. And then here's another one, quite different, and that is a kshatriya not only has a chivalrous spirit, but they're submissive to the brahmanas, because a kshatriya that's very strong and powerful and chivalrous needs the control of one who's not so attached. They need to be submissive to the brahmanas. And that's exactly what's being said here. Avanitasya is not submissive. So he's using as an excuse, I'm not submissive because I have a kshatriya spirit. But a kshatriya spirit is to be regulated by submissiveness to the brahmanas. You follow? It's you know, take it into our modern circumstance and say, something. That there's a dispute, and Nityananda Prahn is called to, you know, deal with the dispute. And one of the disputants says, everything that you're saying is right, I accept it's good advice. But I've got my nature, and my nature is, I have a fighting spirit, and what can I do? I've got a fighting spirit. Then that fighting spirit person can't be elevated by good instruction under the plea that I've got my nature. And my nature is, I remember very clearly one devotee saying, I'm the kind of person who, then you fill in the blank, and basically, that, you know, said in other language, in other terminology, I accept this designation, this upadhi, but our teaching is sarva upadhi vinir muktam. One needs to rise above that conditioned tendency to take shelter of our spiritual nature, and transcendental knowledge is to help us separate the soul from the body, and our real identity is the soul, not the gross and subtle bodies, the gross body and the mind and intelligence. We're a spirit soul, and we should act on the platform of spirit soul, at least understand that that's our identity. Now that's Vaishnava, or at least it's, you know, the beginning part of it is Gyan, but then the application of it is then to serve the Supreme Lord. So we can utilize our nature, something like the discussion yesterday, the dovetail program. We can dovetail propensities, or we can rise above propensities if we take shelter. And if our hearts are closed, then we don't take shelter, and next best is we dovetail propensity. In general, now go back to what Prabhupada is saying in the purport. In general, a brahmana or a teacher or a spiritual master, their duty is to see, here it is. It was the duty of the spiritual master or teacher to observe the psychological movement of a particular boy and thus train him in a particular occupational duty. This is described in chapter 9 of Canto 1, Bhishma Dev's instructions, where Yudhisthira is asking Bhishma Dev to describe, if I'm to become the king, then please give me understanding, impart to me understanding how to execute my duties as king. The duty of the king is to engage all citizens. So he describes that, I'll just keep it simple, in the beginning stage, there's universal training. And those universal training is obedience to the spiritual master, to the teacher, and a life of austerity and simplicity and submission. And then this teacher observes the student and he sees there's this propensity. So like, you know, building character starts and then seeing propensity and train that individual according to propensity. Perhaps according to some suitable occupation. So the brahmana had to be very qualified to be able to do that. That not only to see what is the nature, but then provide the resources for that particular student to develop this profession or this capacity for work according to his nature. But that's what teachers did. Qualified teachers did. And Prabhupada is applying that example to say the American youth, not just American youth, education today is training people to become sudras. Sudras means at the end, you need a master. At the end of your occupational training, you're a qualified sudra. If someone doesn't employ you, you starve. Because independent in their occupation is a brahmana and a kshatriya and a vaishya. Dependent in their occupation is a shudra. So modern education is training an army of shudras. That's the perspective that Prabhupada is offering us. And again, specifically, it's one is dependent upon the vaishya to engage me, the capitalist, or the kshatriya to engage me. I get a civil servant's job. Or a brahmana, I'll just become, I'll assist a brahmana. But if I don't have some employer, I'm a sudra, I need a master. I'm helpless. I don't know how I can survive. So during that crash of the economy, there was a lot of talk, and there's still some talk, and there's little less action, about becoming dependent again upon the land. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Detroit, you're from Michigan, so you know. Once upon a time, the economy of Detroit, before it was Motown, before it was Motor City, it was agrarian based. And now that the economy has crashed, the city is looking to so many pieces of land in the city of Detroit that's abandoned, and you know it's dangerous. And so, taking positive action, they're assembling people who want to survive, and so they're seeing how they can use those plots of land to grow agricultural products in the city of Detroit, when to speak of the countryside. A agrarian-based economy, then you're a certified Vaishya instead of a Sudra, because Krishi Gorakshya Vanijam, Vaishya Karma Subhavajam, you have that capacity. You don't need an employer, you just take care of the land, and that take care of your necessities. And the Kshatriya and the Brahmana, but the Shudra needs an employer. It's not just factory workers or Shudras. The technologists are Shudras, you know, polished, but Shudras. If they don't have Prabhupada's other example is they have been rendered like dogs. And to illustrate, he says, they go from door to door and say, "Bow wow, please throw me a bone. I can wag my tail. I can sit like this. Woof woof, throw me a bone." And if somebody doesn't throw him a bone, he starves. Prabhupada was not fond of modern education, as you can tell. So, then he turns around in the final paragraph and says, but those persons, when trained, some of those persons, when trained, can become brahminical. Those that have a different background, even the born, elevated, something, something, something persons, they also require, even in Vedic culture, person who was born in a Brahmin family required training. He required initiation and training following that initiation, training in the scriptures and following of the sangskaras and learning how to perform brahminical duties. It didn't just come with birth, it came with training. So then he goes to the step that says, without brahminical culture, you can't have spiritual consciousness. At least some sector of society, the head department of society, has to have knowledge and has to have vision and has to be able to speak on behalf of that Vedic wisdom to guide the rest of society. And he wanted simultaneously that the Hare Krishna movement would elevate people to become Vaishnavas, and then gets this chameleon kind of an effect. Is, you know, what is our mandate? Ultimately, our mandate is to become devotees, Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. And when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, one can do anything for Krishna. It's not what's your nature. Okay, here's your engagement according to your nature. That may be the predominant consideration. But then, for purposes of serving the Supreme Lord Vishnu, one may take any kind of activity. You know, the brahmana who's doing the puja on the altar can clean the floor. And it's not, oh, that's a Shudra's business, I can't clean the floor. Because we're devotees, we can do anything for the pleasure of Krishna. There's a famous photograph that later has been reproduced in paintings and so on, where it's in Mayapur, and there's the landscape of what was agricultural field, and now where that was, it's now the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is coming up. This $60 million project previously was agricultural field. And there's our temple off to one side, and there's Prabhupada and some devotees standing here. And then in the background is a devotee with a straw hat to keep his head from the sun, plowing the field behind a bullock. And that's Jayapataka Maharaj, who Prabhupada said, do this. And so in service to Krishna, he did this. It's not like that's his propensity. But for instruction purposes, we plow the field using bullocks. We don't need tractors. That was what Prabhupada wanted. So he learned how to do it, and he did it as service. And so on. We may be called upon to do so many things. Ideally and preponderance-wise, according to our nature, we should be engaged. And circumstances may dictate something else. And if it's service to Krishna, we learn that something else, and we do that something else as best we can. For the satisfaction of Krishna. There's a whole other layer of... And this, the topic of Varnashram, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, it's a huge topic. It's one of those topics that rarely has consensus. I've not seen it. For your information, in Mayapur this year, at the end of our GBC meetings in Mayapur, there's a whole bunch of things. One is a period of seminars. It goes on for like 4 days. And then immediately after the seminar, the Prakrama in Navadvip takes place, and that comes back, and then they have a little festival in Gaur Purnima. So during that seminar session, there were very senior devotees making presentations on Varnashram. I didn't attend because I was busy with other things. But I heard it was very well attended, and it's one of those, head-scratching, what about this and what about that, and not a whole lot of consensus, but a lot of discussion, and trying to sift through how this fits together, because it's not, frankly, it's not really clear. And those that think that they see it very clearly have 10 other people that say they don't see it clearly. They don't see it right. Anyway, so we're working on that. But that's part of what the topic is here. Brahminical culture is very clearly something that Prabhupada valued. Brahminical culture means persons that live by principles of purity, cleanliness, compassion, study of the scripture, very regulated, very clean. Brahminical quality. And they're meant to impart knowledge. Something like in our Western culture, what priests used to be. Not what priests are today, but what priests used to be within the culture. They were the intellectuals. Not the only group of intellectuals, but they were intellectuals that were focused on study of the scripture. And then they would teach. They would not only teach the scripture, they would teach whatever education, but that was the system. And people were dependent upon them for their guidance in practical affairs and finding direction in their life, those really important kinds of things. So for the society to move towards God consciousness, qualified brahmanas are necessary to give guidance to the kshatriyas who then administer the affairs of state, including the vaishyas and shudras. Now go back to this situation where it just struck me when reading this. In one sense, Prabhupada is supporting the fact that Dhruva said, your transcendental knowledge is wise, it's good advice, but I have my nature, I can't accept it. My heart has been pierced by the harsh words of my stepmother, and because of that, my heart is blocked. Your words don't enter. But at the same time, he recognizes it's right advice. So intellectually, yes. On the heart level, no. We mentioned this yesterday, but it's not Narada's mistake for not recognizing what Dhruva's nature is. He's trying to elevate him above his nature, above the get back position. There's the emphasis in the word of tolerance. But Krishna's speaking like that to Arjuna. Tungsta tikrasva bharata, matras parashastu kauntayas. To get to the platform of the soul, to know what is really your duty, you have to detach yourself from what the soul isn't and become situated in knowledge of what the soul is. And that requires this detachment. And that means you tolerate dualities. Dhruva was capable of extreme austerity. So in that sense, he was capable of overcoming the influence of duality. But he was hard-pressed. He was direly attached to this chivalrous spirit that obscured his ability to take the immediate benefit that Narada wanted to give him. Later on, he laments, because I didn't accept what Narada said, now the Lord has wants me to stay here on earth instead of going with him and rule the kingdom on earth for 60,000 years. Ugh, how unfortunate. The opportunity just happened, and he said no. So we also have our opportunities where we can receive transcendental knowledge and become elevated beyond, above and beyond our conditioning on the strength of accepting that assisting transcendental wisdom, that vibration that can carry us beyond our conditioning. And if we can't, then we have our nature, and we can still be theistic, we can still be followers of Vedic culture. And then we have the, okay, here's your nature, and engage one according to his nature. That's another discerning feature that a teacher needs to make. Not only what's the nature of the student, but what's their spiritual capacity or spiritual willingness to move from where they are to above where they are. We have the means, generally speaking, we have the means primarily through chanting and our regulations of sadhana bhakti, vaiti sadhana bhakti, that will carry us if we submit ourselves to those regulations and practices. It's like the festival of the Holy Name was specifically not only chant, but chant qualitatively to help elevate us beyond our conditioning. And the more that happens, the complexities of life become diminished, and transcendental life takes hold instead. Just the elevator, Prabhupada calls it. There's the staircase, and there's the elevator. Going back, end with just this statement Prabhupada makes in the previous purport. One who is ready to sacrifice anything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be said to have spiritual desire. Dhruva didn't have that. He came to that position. He went from Sakam Bhakti to Nishkam Bhakti. It works. And, you know, 6 months was like, you know, fast lane. But what did he do for those 6 months? We're not prepared to do what he did in 6 months, in a lifetime. But it's the process of elevation also works. Sakam to Nishkam Bhakti. To be continued. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, could you please elaborate on the point that I can understand in case of Dhruva Maharaj, he got hurt by Suruchi's words, and we also hear harsh words and some past mistreatment or ill-treatment from others or past experiences that we carry that create blocks in the heart. So how I can improve to receive the transcendental instructions better?
The important part came at the very end. And your voice trailed off, so I couldn't hear what you said. What was the, can you do the last part again, the punchline of your question? Don't do the whole thing, just the conclusion.
How I can improve from where I am to receive the transcendental instructions better, so that all the stumbling blocks that are in the heart.
It starts with a desire, and it moves further as one opens one's heart to receive. I like two things. I find two things are very effective. Chanting in a receiving mode. I find it's very effective to accomplish what you just said. If your orientation towards spiritual practice is to receive, it's not just, there's an effort involved because you can't receive without effort. But the effort is to receive. It carries over into life, where as one moves about in life, you know, the eagerness to receive descending mercy becomes your life. And then relationships with key persons who are providers of that descending mercy, principal suppliers of that descending mercy. Ensure that those relationships are strong. It's nice. Both of them are very nice. And both of them can carry one out of the struggling condition to the liberated position.
So by doing that, what do you
thought about? Well, I'm uncomfortable with the word automatically. But yeah, they happen at the same time. The nature of like Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, that's what happens from chanting. It happens. Chant in that manner, and it happens. You can say it happens, but automatically it's a reciprocation. It's a relationship with the holy name, Srinama Prabhu. Or, put it in Rupa Goswami's terminology, that the when practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Kleshagni and Shubhada, it happens. The sufferings are reduced or eliminated, and all auspiciousness awakens in one's life. One's spiritual nature becomes awakened from carefully, properly performed sadhana bhakti automatically. Yeah. The problem is we're attached to our stuff. We identify with it. We take it with us everywhere we go. So it's gradual. It doesn't have to be gradual, but it's generally gradual. Maybe too gradual. We'd like it to go, but you know, we're attached. So it doesn't go forward more swiftly. And we can't be, you know, well, I can't be artificial, Prabhu. So we have to be honest with what our capacity is to let go, but you know, move. And those are the principal channels mentioned earlier. Okay? And then it happens automatically. Something else? Yes.
Thank you. I was thinking about my guru like yesterday, about Indradyumna Swami and how he does his like huge festivals. Yeah. And now his health is not good, so like it's not possible to do what he's doing just by like his own strength, by physical strength. I'm thinking how it's like really just Krishna's energy and Parampara energy is going through him. And I guess like it's a continuation of this question, how devotee could become like just instrument. Because when you look at these like great devotees, you see it's not them, it's just they like channel, and so much is done in the service through them.
I got about 60% of what you said, but the other 40% was lost. Did you get 100%? How to become an instrument of Krishna is the gist.
Yes, like the point is like when you really see on these great souls like Srila Prabhupada, how he accomplished what he accomplished, it's not possible for the person.
A little further away will help.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just such a magnificent energy of Krishna was just flowing.
You have a strong voice. When you speak right into the microphone, I can't hear you.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, so like...
Better.
How to become this kind of instrument, right?
Instrument to a great soul who is empowered by Krishna to do wonderful things, how to be a better instrument. That's your concern? Life circumstances are very different for different individuals, and being an instrument of a great personality does not necessarily mean being, you know, immediately as they're executing their service on the left side or the right side and doing. It may be more remote. I mean, that was my service in relation to Srila Prabhupada, so I can speak from my own experience. It's understand the message, understand the mood, and live it. So you may be physically, geographically remote, not part of the big festival, but a perambulatory emissary over here and over there and over there. By those things I just mentioned, understanding the message, understanding the mood of that great personality, and be their instrument over here, over there, wherever. Exemplify, and that way you're an instrument. So, what are those qualities in Indradumna Maharaj that I most appreciate? He's my Guru Maharaj. What are those qualities in him that I most appreciate? Let me see how I can manifest those qualities. Let's say there's if someone's a parent and their child is growing up, they know one day their child is going to be not in the home, they're going to be somewhere else living their adult life. So the parent would want to see that the child becomes a responsible adult that carries the values that they wish to pass on. So although they may not be in the home with their parent, they're living their adult life somewhere else, they're an instrument of those values that they received from. And it's not less. It's what the parent wants. It's so, take it back to the context of your question. Our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is such that our gurus, your guru in particular, because you brought this up this way, he's all over the world. Now how can somebody that's in Australia or Chicago or wherever they may be in the world, Russia and someplace, you know, I'm not serving my Guru Maharaj, how can we better be examples? Because, you know, not like drop your situation and go be where he is, because he's moving around all the time. How can you be where he is? If circumstance permits, you can assist and directly participate in. And other than those circumstances, be the example of the teachings and the mood of your spiritual master. Now we have this thing that each of us has our nature, so that message and so forth may be exhibited in, according to one's nature. That's perfectly appropriate. It's not all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples are carbon copy replicas of Srila Prabhupada's way of doing things. Okay. Something else? Ladini Shakti, you want to say something? She didn't raise her hand, but I could pick up the vibration on my radar screen.
The way you answered Sri Guru Mataji's question, I was thinking, that was something that I've been thinking about for a few days, that the spiritual master is traveling and he's in different places and we don't get to see him very often or personally serve him.
Yeah.
And my question was kind of what she asked, like how do we, even though we don't get to serve him personally, how do we feel
they're doing personal service to our spiritual master?
How do we feel that closeness? That he's always there, even though I'm not serving. So intimately?
Two things. I'll repeat something that Prabhupada said, and I'll just share from practical experience. If you've read Lilamrita, you know what I'm about to say. There was a period of time when the devotees didn't know anything about anything except one thing, and that's Prabhupada. He was everything. He was their father, he was their mother, he was their friend, he was their teacher, he was their all in all. He was everything. But Prabhupada had a mandate to give Krishna consciousness to the world, and so he left to go from New York to San Francisco, and the devotees were writing him from New York, "Oh, we're missing." And Prabhupada's instruction was, place my picture where I would otherwise sit. So that became his Vyasasan. That didn't exist initially. It was just some instruction that he gave. And it's a traditional practice. And you can think of my instructions and the teachings, and that way you'll feel my presence. It's vibrational. It's not physical. And the second answer is relational. If what you do is for your spiritual master, you will feel your spiritual master's presence. It's that simple. You can say it conversely. If you do things, even if they're things that you should do and refraining from the things you shouldn't do, if it's automatic or mechanical, then you won't feel your spiritual master's presence. But if you're thinking, I'm doing this for my spiritual master, then you'll feel his presence. It's relational. It's transcendentally relational. It's that simple. When I was visiting in Houston, one devotee that grew up in the Houston congregation from a small boy, I remember him from when he was very young. Now he's, mature adult with a job and so on and so on. He came to see me, just discussed some things. And then at the end he shared with me that he had a dream of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He's not Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple, but he grew up. His father and mother and his sister are disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So I forget what it was that Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to me in a dream and he spoke to me something, something, something. I forget what it was. Just very practical instruction. But, he was radiating. And, so much time had passed from when Tamal Krishna Maharaj had left. But he's doing what he's doing because of that close affinity. Because that's in his heart, he's feeling Tamal Krishna Maharaj's presence. So, back to if you do what you do, acting in your relationship is my phrase, one who acts within that relationship feels the presence of their spiritual master. Just the day-to-day things that you do. When you get up and walk out the door and go walking back to your home. It's not, if the purposefulness of each activity, brushing your teeth or whatever you're doing, the relationship is behind what you're doing. You're acting in that relationship that you feel the presence of that person. That simple. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.